Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn. And touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
D'Anthony.
Yes.
You got a legend. Legend's daughter on the show today.
A legend made by a legend.
Casey Kasem, man. He was one of my favorites.
It turns out a lot of people don't know. Like, people who think they know are like top 40, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, people who definitely know are like, yeah, he was also Shaggy's voice.
Yeah.
And he did a bunch of other voiceover work. What a lot of people don't know is he was like a massive humanitarian and a guy whose family probably, like, you would imagine being a fucking Lebanese immigrant mm-hmm. back in the day. It probably wasn't that comfortable. And the fact that he spent a lot of time trying to bring people together over the Middle East conflict situation speaks a lot about his character. A lot of people don't know that about him.
He was a great man, and he died under strange circumstances.
Yeah.
Carrie, his daughter, was in charge of the lawsuits and everything else that was going on. Heard a lot of crazy stories regarding his death, and they seemed unbelievable. So when a friend of ours had said, hey, man, she'd love to come on and do the show, I was like, shit, will she talk about anything?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she would talk about anything. Nothing was off limits today, including Scientology and everything else. Mm-hmm. And it was a fantastic interview and great to sit down with her and hear the real story about what went on with her father.
Right.
She's also an interesting person in her own right and kind of cute, Dan. I think the two of you guys. In your future, I can see at least a dinner going down.
Convert to Scientology?
Maybe, Dan.
And veganism.
If anyone could beat it, though, I think it's you.
Beat Scientology.
Yeah, I think you could go in and do the whole thing and then, you know, come out fine on the other side.
I think I would be fine.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it would last in the building very long. I would be fine, yeah.
Before we get to that interview, we got some sponsors who pay for this whole shit wagon to be on the air. First and foremost, talking about ghostbed.com/drinking bros.
G-beds,
dude. Best in the business. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Today, we're right now, currently, you can get 30% off for anybody who's a member of the military, a first responder, a teacher, or if you work for the government, which is crazy, man. Strange times we are living in, and more everybody across the board is spending more time in their houses. There's nothing more important than a good night's sleep and a great mattress. If you're a dumb civilian like myself, you get 25% off. You also get a look, if you just want a mattress and you want two free pillows with that, boom, they got you. All of these deals are good with their 3-year no interest program, 36 months.
They're one of the only companies I've ever seen that stacks their promotional deals with their suspension of APR and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You don't really see that very much.
Ever.
Usually it's one or the other. You can't double dip, as people say, but they just don't care.
Yeah. Best in the biz, man. Yeah. And big fans of ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Go there and get your bundle package today. I got that adjustable base, and it is a game changer for me. Moved down from the Cal King, because I'm a tall drink, to the King itself, and I was able to get that adjustable base. Man, it is delightful. Next up, D'Anthony, we got FelixGrayGlasses.com. Oh, yeah. Man, /drinking bros.
Everybody loves them. Actually, two different people have posted in one of the Drinking Bros groups asking for the promo code lately. So people are starting to feel the effects.
Oof, I am, dude.
Of
for
being
sure
on screens all the time. Like, yeah. Common symptoms are headaches, blurry vision, dry, tired eyes, trouble sleeping. Because exposure to that blue light that makes cell phones possible and a lot of the screens we look at all the time lowers natural production of melatonin,
yeah,
right? So if you're having trouble getting to sleep at night, or if you're having these headaches, things like that, then you probably need to look into this at some point, because look, the time away from screens is not going away, unless you're a fucking farmer or something like that that doesn't deal with screens, and even they deal with screens. Like, you look at if you look at millennial farmers' equipment, he's looking at screens all day too, right? You can't escape it.
And if you're looking at farmersonly.com,
yeah,
still staring at screens.
Yeah, I think all those tractors come pre-programmed with that site.
They do. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
And it's also that Felix Gray. So there's a lot of these blue light blocking, but don't buy some piece
it's
of
starting,
crap.
Yeah, they're starting to pop up now that Felix Gray blew up, and it was just like, dude, don't buy one of those.
That always
of
happens,
shit
though.
Ones. Like, I know.
They'll be at gas stations now, and people will be buying that bullshit. Here's the real deal. So most of these glasses don't filter blue light the right way. The blue light that we're talking about, and blue light, it doesn't mean all blue light, but this particular blue light happens at a very specific point in the visible light spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And the glasses that these, you know, other manufacturers are making simply don't address. It's like trying to swat a fly with a tennis racket. It's never going to work. Like, you're missing all the critical parts of it. Felix Gray is the best. It blocks 15 times more light in that particular part of the spectrum than any other fucking pair of glasses.
Yeah.
Right? That's the whole point. And it also doesn't have that stupid yellow tint to it. Like, it looks like normal glasses.
Yeah, and what we're telling you here is all blue light matters.
Yes.
So if it's creeping in, don't get one of these cheap fucking flimsy pairs, because it's not going to help. FelixGrayGlasses.com/drinking bros blocks out 90% of the blue lights. We're staring at our screens on an average 11 hours a day, probably higher now that we're all, you know, stuck at home doing shit. So go to FelixGrayGlasses.com today /drinking bros. And again, if you haven't had these or heard of these, it's FelixGrayGlasses.com/drinking bros. And right now you can try them for free, 30 days risk free. So if the shit doesn't work, you can send it back. They have not done that before, but they are doing that now. So go there, free overnight shipping. And if you have a prescription,
yep,
for like $20 more, they'll put it in the glasses. These are fantastic. These always get stolen from
the
show.
The best. I know. Let's be real. The only reason they're doing that free money back guarantee thing is because they know people aren't going to send them back.
No,
like, there's no, like, I've got a couple pair. People see me, and I'm like, or I like am talking to or visiting with friends and I see Felix Green, like, oh, did you hear about that on the show? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's one of our sponsors. Like, no, I just bought these. I'm like, oh, shit. It's like getting way more main. I think people people are realizing a lot more stuff about brain health these days, luckily. Like,
yeah.
What we were talking about on the show with Carrie about the connection between gut health and mental health issues. This is the same way. Like, if you're nothing exacerbates any kind of other issue you're having more than not being able to sleep.
Yeah. Right? I agree. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/drinkingbros today and get your pair. Last up, we've got First Leaf wine. God damn it. I love this. So go to tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros.
I'm getting a lot of DMs and emails about that.
Tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros. I even did this on Ross Patterson Revolution the other day because when my box showed up, I was like, no fucking way. You get six bottles of wine for $30, dude. And it was from all over the world. So I got my wine was from Australia. I got some from New Zealand. I got some from France. I got one from Northern California. Man, I cannot recommend this enough. I was at a dinner party last night and I had to bring a bottle of wine over to the house, and they're like, what is this? And I was like, dude, I got it at First Leaf, man. It's the best. So go to tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros.
That's a really good flex, by the way, to show up at a party with a sweet ass bottle of wine, and then people start looking it up on their phone, like, oh, this guy knows about wine, but you don't know shit really yet.
Yeah, I don't know anything, but yeah. I know it tastes amazing, and I'm like, where the fuck have I been all these
years? But they set it up so where you can learn. Like, you do their survey just like you've done on other show, other companies for us, Box of Awesome and other ones, where you give them your notes. They send you these six bottles of wine that are essentially $5 a piece.
Yeah.
But that's not how much they really cost. They're just giving you a huge discount to build your flavor profile. You write notes back about the bottles that you got, and then they start custom tailoring wine shipments to you.
Correct.
Right?
And it's amazing, dude. Yeah. So try it. Look, just try one box. Five for $30 for Christ's sakes. It's crazy. Go to tryfirstleaf.com today /drinkingbros and get your wine on, man. It's the best. Even if you want to just get rocked for $30, man, is there a better way to get fucking five, six bottles of wine for $30?
No. I mean, if you buy $2 chuck at the grocery store. But
this is the best shit. Look, I'm all in on First Leaf now. Go to tryfirstleaf.com /drinkingbros today. Let's get to the show with Carrie Kasem, shall we, D'Anthony? Welcome to Drinking Bros. We got an awesome guest today. We got Carrie Kasem on the show, daughter of the late great Casey Kasem, one of my all-time favorites. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good as you can be in this kind of crazy world right now. But yeah, I'm good. How about you guys?
We've stopped talking about it altogether. We're completely just ignoring COVID and anything that's going on around it.
Yeah, I've just been driving around town, getting out and high-fiving random people.
Yeah.
Because don't tell me what to do, basically.
Yeah, you don't tell Dan Holloway what to do, essentially.
No, I dress up in full hillbilly regalia. I go jorts and then a sleeveless flannel shirt, blonde mullet wig, and then a fucking Budweiser hat with with a fish hook on it. And I just walk around like, ain't nobody telling me what to do. Hell no.
But you look great. We've got a couple of white trash animals over here. You look great. How are you staying so in shape and with it during the quarantine?
Working. I swear, if I don't stay busy, it's like depression, anxiety. I'm like, I can't. I haven't watched the news for, I don't know, I got my TVs out of here over 15 years ago. And I did put, when I dated a guy who did bring his TV over, and we had Apple TV, so I watched that. But I don't watch the news. I get my news from certain things I read and certain places I, you know, trust mostly, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's where I get my news. But I think I would lose it if I was watching that negative BS all the time.
So you just completely eliminated that from your life altogether.
Yeah, you know, people, when they have anxiety and upset, and my dad was a worrywart, like constantly worrying about everything. I mean, when we go out, when we were kids and we didn't have a sweater on, we were going to die and catch a cold. If we didn't have our seatbelt on, we were going to die in a car accident. My dad was constantly worried about everything. And one of the things was, there was always worry about, you know, breaking in and the crime and this and that. It's like, turn your computer now, but your TV off too. Stop watching that. And anybody who goes to therapy, a good therapist will say, turn the news off.
Yeah.
You know, stop watching.
I kind of like that move where you're boyfriend brought a TV over. I'm going to start doing that.
It's a boss move.
I'm going to start, like, even on dates, I'm bringing, like, a little mini TV with me.
Yeah, bring a 42-incher over. Just set that up right next to the bed.
Or in between us at the restaurant. I'll just peek over, like, you're still there? All
right,
great.
Are you married right now?
No.
Well, it could be that TV. It could be that TV. You might want to throw a big screen up on the wall and just get ESPN Plus.
Get a projector.
Yeah.
My friend has that. No. So when we go to movie nights, then his projector, it's amazing. It's fantastic. But he comes over. He's like, this isn't going to work. You know, we got to be able to watch movies. He's an actor, you know, so he's like, got to watch certain shows. So it's fine. I watch them now. I buy my shows off of Apple TV.
What do you watch?
Yeah. What's your jam?
I mean, wow. Let's see. What's the last thing I watched that I thought was any good? Oh, Broadchurch.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That show? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So good. It's so good. Anyway, so Broadchurch, it's from England. That was great. I'm so bad.
We're asking for suggestions. We're all at the end of our Netflix queues at this point, and Hulu and everything else. So.
Yeah, I think the last big thing that came out streaming was that 365, which is basically Eastern European pornography, right? I mean, it's
on Netflix.
It's softcore porn, so it's like, that's the last thing of note. What's up?
Not my thing.
No, I don't think it's anybody's thing.
Carrie, give it a shot. There's a lot of ladies who are watching 365 on Netflix.
So it's like the new gray.
Fifty Shades of Grey. So much so they've already greenlit the sequel. So get ready for that.
I've never heard of it. There was another English show called Bodyguard. I thought was good.
Oh yeah, that's good. That's the guy that played King Rob in the first two seasons of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
He's like a Secret Service agent, essentially, in the UK. It's actually a really good series.
Yeah, that was a great one. I don't know. I watch here and there. I start to watch stuff, and it's so bad, I just stop watching it.
I understand. Plus, you grew up in a radio family, so you know. I would imagine. You probably listened to the radio more than anything growing up.
No, she grew up watching Scooby-Doo, bro. Come on.
Being Casey Kasem, that too. Like, it's got to be wild that your dad was Scooby-Doo, you know?
Yeah, you know, most people don't know that. They just know him from American Top 40. But when there's kids that's just of a younger generation, I say, well, yeah, you do know my dad. You ever watch Scooby-Doo? Mm-hmm. And they say, well, he was the voice of Shaggy. Mm-hmm. And, oh, my God, people freak out about that. They love that. So that's very cool.
Still to this day, it's one of those brands that has lived on to this very day. When I got the call that you were going to be on the show, I had your dad's, by the way, is just an absolute legend in the industry of he's an all-time great, obviously. But the wildest thing happened to me. So we're moving our entire studio to Austin, Texas. I was telling you that before we came on air. It's about a 20-hour drive from Wilmington, North Carolina to there. During the last stretch of that drive, look, you start to lose it. You think you're hallucinating. There was a good 2 hours where I went through this tiny town in Texas. I didn't know where I was. I'm not that familiar with that state that much. And your dad came on the radio. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I felt like I'd maybe driven into some form of wormhole or something like that, but he was doing a dedication in the middle of it, obviously, you know, to a special little girl in 1981 who lost her thing. And I was like, holy shit. So I found myself listening to it. It was from 1981. It was a top 40 show from 1981. And I guess what they do, because local radio stations are having so many problems these days, is they're playing old reruns of your father's top 40s from different years.
They have been. Actually, some of the most popular shows on air right now are my dad's 70s and 80s show. They're doing very well with it. Sirius is doing well with it. AM and FM that are playing his shows are doing well. And they have been for the last, since he's passed and since before that. But yeah, it wasn't just due to, you know, what's going on now. So I'm really happy that his memory is... You know, it's kept alive in these old shows, and I'm so glad.
It'd be interesting to see a biopic. I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet. Rami Malek or whatever the fuck his name is.
Playing your dad.
I don't know if he could do the voice or not, but he looks kind of like that, and he's a good actor, obviously. Somebody's got to do it at some point. Like, the guy's got an incredible life that isn't just top 40. Like,
yeah.
There's so much other shit going on there that no one knows about.
Like, yeah.
He did a lot of, like, I don't even know how you would... how you would classify like conflict resolution stuff between the Israeli-Palestine conflict throughout the 80s and 90s. Like it, there's so much more stuff to him than just being a voice of a cartoon character on a TV show.
Yeah, and I saw your post on Instagram about what happened in Beirut. Tell us a little bit about what your dad was doing in that region and what it meant to him. Because I saw your Instagram post, but for those who haven't, explain it.
Sure, yeah. My dad was a very, very proud Arab American, very, very proud. His mother was actually born in the States and then moved back to Lebanon. And then his father was born in Lebanon, and they both then moved out here to the States and in Michigan, and opened a little grocery store and had my dad and had his brother Munir. They actually had another son, but the kid died. And that was very hard on my father, very hard. But he grew up, you know, with the family grocery store running that. And from there, you know, school was very important to the family, and he got into school, he got into college, and loved baseball, wanted to be a baseball player. And from there, he actually got into some sports radio and loving radio. But then he got sent to the Korean War, and he did a lot of radio
overseas. Yeah.
And he wrote a letter to his mom and brother every single day he was there. And we have like the bag of letters. It's so beautiful. And in one of the letters, well, many of the letters, he said, "I'm going to come home and I'm going to take care of you guys. And I'm going to make it big. I'm going to make it big and I'm going to take care of you guys." And it's just, he was, you know, anything he put his mind to, he did. He really did. And he not only was, an incredible on-air personality and created American Top 40 and did that, but he was a humanitarian. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, he went and he would put people together from Israel and Palestine, Arabs and Jews and Zionists, put them in a room so that they would talk. So, you know, they could talk it out. And he really wanted peace in the Middle East. Like, more than anything, I think that was one of his I think lifelong goals was to achieve some type of peace there. And also for animals, he was a vegan. So nobody knew what vegan was when he was a vegan. They called him a vegan. I remember that all the time. A vegan, you're a vegan. And
that's funny.
Yeah. So, I mean, he stood up for animal rights. He changed a lot of the factory farming laws. He got arrested for protesting it. I mean, I was traumatized as a child. Here I am as a kid, and I'm looking at these horrific like animal cruelty and torture pictures. And you know, soon after that I became a vegan, and I was like, this is horrible stuff, but traumatized ever since. But you know, my dad always stood up for things that weren't popular at the time, and he wasn't afraid of that.
Yeah, and for such a great man and for how famous he was, his death was extremely bizarre. And I know you were embroiled in legal battles for years and years and years. But what happened right around 2014? Because it was so shocking to, I think, everyone across the nation that it was like, wait, what? Casey Kasem's not doing well, and then his children aren't allowed to see him. What's happening to Casey Kasem? And it became this huge national story. And you were in the middle of it. If you could talk about that. I never knew what the real answer was. And I've always been curious.
Sure. I mean, so many people I have heard it. But, you know, for the people who haven't, my dad's wife decided in his last year of life, we didn't know it was going to be his last year. He was still walking. He was still talking. We were seeing him every weekend. You know, we were talking to him every day on the phone until he lost his voice and made it hard for him. But if you know anything about Middle Eastern families, I mean, most are very close knit. Yep. Like the parents are always involved. They want to know what you're doing. You know, the day and how was your day? That was my dad. Like every day we got a call from my dad. And she decided, his wife decided that she was going to shut the gates to the house. It's a big house, long driveway, fire everybody we knew, take out the phones, and basically say you can't see your dad anymore. That's what happened.
What was the reasoning behind that? Did you guys have a tiff, you and the mom, I guess, your mom?
It's my stepmother.
But they were married for 34 years, correct?
Right. And I mean, in my opinion, and now dealing with elder abuse cases, from people who ask for help from my foundation, very, and this is my opinion, she's a sociopath. So there's it's cookie cutter behavior. And I see this, I can predict when people call me and they tell me, look, my stepmother's doing this, or my stepdad's doing this, or my sister is doing this. And they start to tell me the behavior, and I'll tell you, oh, then do they do this? Like, how do you know that? Have they said this? How do you know that? It's like they read from the same playbook. It's sociopathic. And you can't, unless you're really involved with somebody that has no empathy for human life and doesn't care, you don't understand. There's nothing you can do to make them like you. There's nothing you can say. You can't apologize enough. We didn't understand, being so young, why she hated us. We didn't get it. I mean, we asked her one time. She actually sat down long enough for us to do a family meeting. And we were in our late teens, early 20s. And I remember I said, you know, Dad, let's sit down. We don't understand why she hates us. We don't get it. Like, why is there so much animosity? Why does she not like us coming to the house? Why does she, you know, hang up on us? What's going on? So, I mean, we sat down at a family meeting and, you know, we said, Jean, we've done something, we're sorry. I remember all of us are like, whatever we did, we apologize, whatever it may be. And, you know, and she couldn't tell us what we did. She had no answer for that. And then she just turned to me and she's like, you've ruined my life. You've ruined my marriage. I'll never forgive you. And she got up and walked out. And really? That was, what do you do with that? Like,
sounds super stable from my perspective. Yeah. I don't know what your guy's problem is.
Man, that's insane. So, yeah. I mean, again, it's so hard because she's married to your father for 34 years. That is an incredibly long relationship. Usually you hear about these Hollywood relationships where, you know, they break up, guy marries a woman 30 years younger, and then she ends up taking the family to the cleaners later on because it's like, well, it's my money now and I don't give a shit about, you know, your children and your past life, but I was with you the last 5 to 10 of this one and we're all good. This one though, for a 34 year relationship, is very, very strange.
Yeah, but there's a reason why he stayed so long, and that's because he had another child. And when my mom divorced him, my dad didn't divorce my mom. My mom divorced him. She asked for the divorce. It was the worst thing in the world to lose us. And he said that it was the worst thing that he's ever experienced was to lose his children. And I knew that he would never, ever want to lose another kid. And I think that's why he stayed. And there's personal talks I've had with him I'm not going to reveal.
Of course.
But there's some things that were said that I believe that's what happened. Also, you have to remember, when somebody is a pathological liar and just constantly lies, there's nothing that, if let's say he were to divorce her, what could she have said about him?
Right.
To destroy him. That's a terrifying position to be in, right? He was terrified. And so, you know, and he did love her. I'm not going to say he didn't. He loved her and he kept thinking it was going to get better. And I remember, he would say this for years when we'd say, Dad, why do you let her treat her that? Why do you let, you know, her yell at you and treat you this way? Why is she so mean to you? Oh, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Dad, why does she hate us? Why does she hang up on us? Why won't she let you talk to us? Oh, it's going to get better. I mean, it's like through years, decades, like it's going to get better. And I remember we're all in a car. It's me, my brother, my sister, my dad. And Gina just finished screaming at him on the cell phone. And he puts the phone down. And my dad, when is this going to stop? This has got to stop. You have to do something. And he looks and he's driving and he's like, it's going to get better. And there was a pause and we all started laughing. Like it was either cry or like, we all started laughing. It's like, it's not getting better. It's never going to get better. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. And I mean, there's many things said that were personal, but there's something coming out. I can't really talk about it right now because we're in the middle of production and I can't say much, but sure. Things are going to come out that it's not going to be me talking about it anymore. It's not going to be my sister, my brother. It's going to be, you know, you're going to see another side. And then that will be my closure and I'll be done with this. But when somebody takes away the most important person in your life, you know, let's say your child was kidnapped. You're not going to be like, oh, okay, well, the law says I really, you know, I have to fight this in court and I have to, you know, go against her, you know, her court papers, the power of attorney or the guardianship. We have to fight that. You don't just drop that.
No,
you
right.
That. You know, if I lost everything, if I lost my house, but whatever, I was going to fight for it. This is a man who told the courts, I want to see my children. Emphatically, he said it several times. And the court couldn't just dole out visitation because there was no jurisdiction to do so. So there's a long story here. And when I speak, because I go on my speaking tours, I tell the whole thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people have heard it. I don't want to continue to go on with it. But the one thing is, when my father told the judge, I want to see my children, there was no law allowing her to just give visitation without fighting for power over power of attorney or guardianship. So the judge said, go out in the hallway and figure it out. And at that point, I knew we were in trouble because you can't figure out something with somebody who doesn't want you to see
right
your husband. So I ended up changing the law in California.
Yeah, you actually got a bill passed in the state of California, correct?
I got the Kasem Cares Foundation and myself passed 12 bills in 12 different states. Now we have actually 13 bills in 12 states, and 9 other states adopted a version of the Kasem Cares visitation bill. So we have 21 states.
That's amazing. And again, I know you've talked about it on other shows and things like that. For us, it's more of a wake up call for the audience of like, this could happen to one of your parents. And again, when this was going on, there was, you know, I heard rumors. We weren't sure what was happening, that he was moved from Los Angeles to Washington, the state of Washington during this. And that's, he was buried in Norway for some reason.
Yeah. So we did eventually win some visitation. I do a law show here in Los Angeles. I'm going on 7 years here on KBC. And we interviewed a lawyer named Martha Patterson, elderlawmom.com. And I get off the air with her and she says, you know, you can see your dad. I'm thinking, oh God, she doesn't know the case. She doesn't understand what's going on. And she's like, no, you can see your dad. I'm like, well, you know, and I tried to explain to her. She said, well, there's the patient's bill of rights. And at this point, I've gone through, you know, I got rid of 2 attorneys that we started with. I had another attorney at this point. And she's like, there's a patient's bill of rights. I'm like, well, why haven't I heard of this? She's like, a lot of people don't. It allows a person in a hospital or a nursing home to have visitation, to be able, I mean, you cannot take away their phone. You cannot take away their means of communication with letters or with a computer. You can't do it. It's illegal. And if somebody says they want to see you, then they have to let you in. And she said, well, I was in court the day Judge Leslie Green says Casey Kasem wants to see his kids. It's in a transcript. She's like, I'm going to march into that. And TMZ had let us know my stepmother had hid my dad in several hospitals so we couldn't find him and wouldn't pick him up. She'd use the hospitals as a babysitter.
Wow. And
they called Adult Protective Service on her, several times. I have all of it. Now I'm like completely lost where I'm at. Anyway, so he's being babysat at these different hospitals as we're trying to see them, and we could have all along seen him because of the patient's bill of rights, but we didn't know about it. Anyway, a day later, Martha Patterson and I, this lady I just met from my radio show, we walk into where he's staying, where TMZ had called us and said, "Look, we found out where your dad is. This is where she's hiding him." They never put anything up. And I thank them to this day because this was the last visit I got to see with my dad being able to talk.
And TMZ and did that for you?
TMZ.
Wow.
TMZ called him. And we found him and told us where he was. So we walked into the office. She said, look, if you don't let the kids see their dad, we can sue you. And here's why. Very nicely. Showed him the law. Within 30 minutes, I was sitting there with my dad. I said to my sister, get over here. We can see dad. I put my brother on Skype. He was in Singapore. And we had this 3-hour visit with my dad. It's, you know, my boyfriend was there. Martha Patterson was there, the owner, the woman who ran it, and his 2 nurses. And, you know, they said this was the most animated and happy he'd been since he'd been there. 3 months with no visitation from his wife or child. And if they're... There was nothing on the walls. It was completely white. He didn't have his glasses. You know, it was absolutely horrible.
Well, I apologize for everything that you went through. Again, he seemed like such a caring, loving guy. For that to be the end of his life was so bizarre to everybody in the world at that point. And again, the story seemed crazy, that they were unbelievable. And, you know, back in the day, TMZ, let's face it, they don't have the best reputation. So you were wondering if you were getting the actual news or you know, some weird distorted version TMZ wise of it. And it's nice to hear that this is what actually happened. And it's a wild story.
It's crazy. And there's even more to it. And everything's going to come out, and I can't talk too much about it. I feel like it's going to give me closure, and I feel like it's going to finally end things, and there's going to be some justice. And
Some form of documentary, you think, or a show?
I mean, I've been shooting a documentary for the last 7 years, so that's definitely happening.
Great.
And then when it does happen, I'll come back on and let you guys know.
Sure, please do. Please do. It seems, though, like controversy seems to follow you. I listen to your podcast, the Red Pill podcast. Yeah. Were you banned at some point? What happened with that? What was the real story with your show?
Yeah. So in 2009, I started the Red Pill podcast, and along with the K-Pod, and we were one of the first kind of, nobody knew what a podcast was back then.
Yeah.
No one. And it was my friend Ashley and I, and we loved conspiracy. I mean, we went to watch David Icke speak in 1993-94 in Los Angeles. This is how like into conspiracies we were. So we're like, let's do a conspiracy show. It's going to be super fun. Why all these people on, you know, that are now like their household names now, if you follow anything, but it's like Wakefield was on. We had Sherry Tenpenny on. We had all these people that, you know, they're deemed, you know, conspiracy theorists, but we had Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on, who had done a ton of research into vaccines, had actually moved out of the country for a while because she kept warning people about the dangers of vaccines. We put her on, we do this great interview, and then we go to do a best of show a mm-hmm. few years later. The show is wiped from iTunes. The show is wiped from my computer, Ashley's computer, my engineer's computer. We get back on air and we ask if anybody downloaded it to please send it to us. The entire show had been wiped. This was 2012.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the first time I was censored.
That's first weird.
Time. Yeah. You know, if you're down in Austin, we'll bring you over to Alex Jones and really get into some deep conspiracy. We'll do the show with you. How about that? The four of us will go on. Yeah, for sure. He's great. It'll be a blast. Speaking of conspiracy, since you grew up in Hollywood pretty much your entire life, and you've been around everyone, what is your take on the Epstein, the pedophilia that's going on now? I just did an interview a couple weeks ago in L.A. With some insider Hollywood people, and they said the dam is about to break regarding all of the pedophiles that are not only in the industry, but also in D.C. as well. Is that what you're hearing?
I'm not only hearing it. I know it's true. So there's, and I don't know. Look, there's a lot of celebrities being called out. Mm-hmm. I know certain ones that for me, because I've been in this industry, I dated Corey Feldman when I was very young, and I remember him saying things to me that he has never, ever changed his story on, ever, ever. And I knew certain things back then, and it's just what he said is being mirrored by so many people. You know, people that they didn't share the story and say, hey, let's talk about this. Let's all create a story and talk about it. No way. No way. You know, another friend of mine, Marisol Nichols, who works with Tim Ballard, you know, for Underground Railroad and Our Rescue. Mm-hmm. It's just some of these horrific stories. Pedophilia and sex trafficking is a massive epidemic. And why isn't the media covering it?
Why isn't the media covering it?
I mean, it's rhetorical. It's rhetorical. Yeah. We all know why, right?
Yeah.
It's disgusting. So many on both sides of the fence, Democrats and Republicans, have been now arrested. You know, for stuff they've found, whether it's pedophilia, pictures, sex trafficking, it's horrible. Why isn't this being covered? Why is Ghislaine Maxwell's documents that were released not covered by anybody? What's going on? I mean, we all know, anybody listening is probably understands that, but
it's unbelievably strange. You know, the other strange part about it was, you know, you're talking about Ghislaine Maxwell with some of those docs that got released, in particular the Clinton one last Friday about him being on the Epstein Island twice. The DNC just released.
Well, it wasn't just the fact that he was there. It's that there were there's pictures and eyewitness of him being in fucking proximity to two clearly underage women,
right? Yeah,
but that didn't make any news anywhere
at all. But then you look at the DNC list today of who is going to speak at their virtual convention that mm-hmm. they're holding, It's Hillary and Bill Clinton. Still, no one has a problem with that, and I don't understand it.
Well, some people do.
We do, clearly.
There's a tipping point coming where the fucking wholesale murder in the streets of pedophiles is going to be a regularly accepted activity, and if it's not, then there's going to be a problem, I think. I think these people just need to be dragged into the street, shot in fucking head.
Yeah.
Right?
And this is far worse than when you think pedophilia and you think, you know, like maybe, you know, some sick guys like molesting your kid. This goes way beyond. I mean, this is torturous. It's death. It's evil. It's way beyond. And
because it lasts your entire life as a child. That's it. Like then that is ingrained.
Yeah.
If
you make it through.
Correct. Yeah. If you make it through, it lasts your entire life. You know, you were talking about Corey Feldman earlier. What happened to that documentary? He was supposed to have a documentary that was going to come out where he was going to tell his entire story.
It's out.
It's out.
And when we were at the premiere, we were watching it. As we were watching it, because he bought his own bandwidth so he could play it, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody would pick it up. Nobody would touch it. And as we're watching it, it gets hacked. I mean, it was crazy.
That happened to us one time. We had an Iraqi intelligence officer on the show. We were live on YouTube. He's a buddy of ours. And we're talking about Iran doing this, this, and this. And all of a sudden, our fucking feed goes out. Like mid-sentence. Right. Yeah, it was weird as shit.
Yep.
Who did he say? Did he go into Michael Jackson or anybody like that?
No, you guys got to watch it. I'm not going to tell you. Because it's out there. It's on the internet. Go to,
Is it his website?
Just go to Corey Feldman on Twitter. You'll see it. You can find it. Watch it. It's unbelievable. It's crazy. And it's not just one or two witnesses. It's a bunch of people and it's a bunch of witnesses and people who knew both Corey. So it's worth watching. And he's really trying to change some things, for kids in the industry. And I hope that that goes well.
It's mytruthdoc.com.
Okay. So and that's Corey Feldman's?
Yeah, mytruthdoc.com.
Okay.
You can go watch it. It's kind of a pay-per-view thing. But yeah,
I've
read some reviews of it. It's not great, but it's, you know, it reminds me, and look, this is kind of a touchy subject in any case, but Henry Rollins said back in the day, and this was just about celebrities, like, who refused to come out of the closet because they didn't want their sexuality to be public or whatever the fuck. It's like, yeah, I understand that, but there are like kids, teenagers that are getting kicked out of their homes and blowing their fucking brains out on the street because they don't feel like they have a right to exist in this world. You're a rich white person, probably.
Yeah.
Like maybe just swallow your own fucking bullshit a little bit and be a role model. And I think this is what Corey's doing. Like there's no way this is easy or comfortable for him to do this.
No. And you certainly can't get work after that. I mean, let's face it. Hollywood's a very small town. And once you come out with something like this, it's over because this is happening more than the general public even knows. And look, we've had some weird names, wild names tossed around on this show and Ross Patterson Revolution in the last few weeks about who is possibly in this pedophilia ring, and it was mind-altering if it's true. I'm sure you know about some big ones.
You know, I have heard, and because there's so much BS out there right now, and there's been so much BS about my case and what this and this, that unless I know for sure, I'm not going to go and say names, because if it's not true, I'll tell you one thing, though, and who I find disgusting in her tweets. Chrissy Teigen.
What the fuck?
I mean, that's right there in front of your face. It's disgusting. It's grotesque. There's something very wrong with her.
She deleted 65,000 tweets and blocked over a million accounts.
But she didn't. This is the problem. She didn't do it. How do you delete 60,000 tweets in a day? How do you get a million people? You don't. Twitter helped her.
I have no idea. Yeah, they had to. Right?
You know, Twitter helped her.
We're not big Teigen fans.
No,
on this
I think
show
the
either,
even
so.
Bigger problem is that John Legend got voted sexiest man alive, and he looks like Arthur from that cartoon. I mean, that's ridiculous, man. Come on, give me a fucking break. Like, he's a good singer, yes, obviously, but come on.
But
man.
But best looking, no, he's definitely not the best looking man alive.
It's probably Ryan Reynolds. Because he's the perfect combination. I'm going to bang Ryan Reynolds.
Right now. Ryan Reynolds got caught having a wedding on a plantation, so he's in hot water today.
Yeah, like, he's just like, oh, we just thought it was a night. He's Canadian. They don't fucking know.
No.
There were no plantations in Canada.
No, no. Blake Lively's family is all from LA, so they didn't.
Yeah,
know.
They don't know
they
shit.
Just got
either.
Married on a South Carolina plantation.
Yeah, they just thought it looked cool. It's like, all right, canceled.
Yeah. What's your take on the cancel culture? I mean, this is happening. I feel like every day some celebrity goes down. Are you as fed up with it as we are?
You know, I once again, thank God, I'm not watching all of it. I hear about it. I hear some of it. I don't. It's because I'm working on four different projects. I'm editing. I'm doing interviews. I'm doing my two radio shows. I'm doing my two podcasts. I am. Thank God, I've pulled myself out enough of it. But I'll tell you something. The best cancel that I have heard of, the best one was, and I can't think of his name, but it was a I think it was a senator, a senator or representative who came up with canceling the Democratic Party. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's good reason to. Their last two candidates. Well, let's just start with Hillary. So if you're a member of the Democratic Party, right, and you don't know the name Hillary Clinton, and this is the resume: voted for the Iraq War, like pioneered the goddamn crime bill that put 3 million black dudes in jail. Voted for the Patriot Act, voted to reauthorize the Iraq War, was anti-marriage equality until 2013. You're like, no, we're not going to do that. Oh, she's got a vagina. Let's do it.
Yep.
Let's do it, guys. And yeah. Then now we've got fucking Uncle Sleepy Joe Sniffer. Like, he's got some kind of puzzle basement in his house, I think, where he's like luring people down.
I have to say something about that because I've been, you know, my dad died of dementia, Lewy body mm-hmm. dementia.
Yeah.
My grandfather died of Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. Uncle has it now. I work with the elderly and have for 7 years. I watch Joe, and he is definite cognitive impairment. I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to tell you something. There's something very wrong. He looks like he's got some kind of dementia.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would bet on it, you know. So I'm really not understanding this, and I'm not understanding why people in the Democratic Party. I'm an independent. You know, my mom, my dad was a literally like diehard liberal Green Party, you know, tree hugging man. And my mother, she's a Republican fundraiser. You can't be on two separate ends, like
polar
like,
opposites. Yeah.
You can't, it's unbelievable. So I'm down the middle here and I'm looking at both things. I'm looking at both parties and I don't understand how the Democrats aren't up in arms with the fact that they haven't replaced Joe Biden. Yeah. You know, this man has cognitive impairment. We can't have running the country.
I really thought there was a chance Cuomo was going to get drafted. And I don't think, honestly, I don't think that would have been a terrible choice for them to do that.
Not now.
The guy who put in COVID positive elderly.
Oh, yeah.
On COVID.
Sure,
when
yeah.
he had a ship with 1,000 beds on shore
right.
with doctors. And he is responsible for killing so many elderly mm-hmm. people. I mean, he took the worst of the worst risk factor, and exposed them to COVID. You know, whether he exposed them to COVID or the flu or whatever, any kind of contagious virus, you don't put them in with the most at-risk people. And he had other places to put them, but he didn't use that.
He's crazy. And then is the brother. It's him. He's the one with nipple rings.
Well, of all it's Andrew Cuomo. Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't see this.
Oh, you didn't see picture? This? There's a picture going around of him at his last press conference where he's clearly got nipple rings.
He's wearing like a white polo and it's kind of translucent and you can see nipple rings.
You can see
outlines.
His nipple rings. So this has been going around. This has been going viral over the last week. Yeah. So
no, this has like been 3 months now.
It's been
a little while.
The last time. Yeah, look it up. It's fascinating because when you see it, you're like, oh, yeah, you definitely had nipple rings. As a 65-year-old man, it's a weird one for me, unless you're into some crazy sex shit.
Maybe.
Weird. Yeah.
That's
maybe.
Weird.
I mean, it's not great.
I don't mind it on women, obviously.
It's not a great look on an elderly man.
No, not at all. Not at all. I want to talk about something else that's kind of crazy because, look, we try to at least do a little bit of research on our guests before they come on. When I was going through your file, so to speak, a.k.a. the internet and the Google machine, Scientology came up a lot. Are you a Scientologist?
Yeah, I study Scientology. Absolutely.
Really?
But I also believe in... I'm, you know, I was raised Christian in a church as well. So, but yeah, you know, I'm very much into God and very, very, very spiritual. And, you know, it's something that has helped me people find whatever helps them the most and they stick with it. And it's made me a happier person.
Yeah,
and
I use mushrooms.
Dan's a big mushrooms guy. So
and
there's
LSD
no...
and MDMA and weed and what else is there?
Yeah, there's no God for Dan, but there's a lot of drugs where he can find his own God in his mind. And we appreciate that.
Yeah, I have a coloring book.
Yeah.
That I really like when I get super high.
But with Scientology, look, again, that comes, you know, that comes with a lot of controversy. Also,
you know, I people ask me about it. I talk about it, but everybody, I respect everybody's religion. I respect, and I love religion, by the way. There was a point in my life I didn't. I felt I was almost angry towards it. It started wars. It keeps people separated. But, you know, coming into my own and finding what makes me happy made me accept other people's religions more. I'm like, if that makes you happy, and that's something you like, who am I to say, you know, do this or do that or follow this or believe this or that? You know, it's up to you. It's a very personal choice.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
If you don't believe in anything, fine.
For me, it was the Big Lebowski. Whenever I heard Flea say, "We believe in nothing, Lebowski," I was like, I'll be a nihilist.
Yeah, that's you.
Because I just liked the way it sounded. Didn't do any research.
Dan's easily swayed. Very easily swayed by film and television.
And coloring books.
Yeah, and coloring books as well. But
you know there are adult coloring books, right?
I do know that.
That's a real thing.
There actually are.
Yeah, no, it's totally real. How did you get into Scientology personally? I'm always curious as to how that process works. I had a neighbor who was a Scientologist, and he was telling me you'd have to take a test and everything else. What made you seek out Scientology? And forgive me for asking, I'm just super fascinated by it.
I had a friend who was very successful and always had his head on straight. Like, wasn't emotionally up and down, just, you know, of course he had normal emotions, but he just seemed, I don't know, there was a peace about him. It was just this, I'm like, what do you do? Why are you so, you know, are you Buddhist? What do you do? And he's like, no, I study Scientology. He's like, it's just made me a happier, more peaceful, more serene person. And I said, well, what is it? I was so like you guys. I was so interested. Like, what the hell is it?
Yeah.
What is it? And he just took me to a church. He's like, here, find out for yourself. And that is the most important thing you can do, is go and find out for yourself. Don't listen to the media who doesn't tell the truth about stuff. I listen to this stuff. And I go, that's not true. Why aren't you suing them? And he goes, well, if we keep suing everybody, it's going to be just constant lawsuits. I'm like, but they're lying. This is a lie. This doesn't happen in Scientology.
What about Leah Remini? Because she had some pretty harsh things to say, and she was in the organization for quite a while, right?
I don't. All I know is that I knew a friend of Leah's. Mm-hmm. This is before I started studying Scientology. And a very good friend of hers. And I'll tell you something. It was the worst friendship relationship she ever had. She was treated so poorly and so badly. And I remember hearing this before I ever even, you know, walked into a church. And so that's all I know about her. I don't know her. I've never met her. I mean, I've seen her.
Sure.
You know, I don't watch her stuff. So I don't know. And I'm not going to. It's like, you know, why people are like, well, why didn't you watch the show? I said, well, if you were Jewish and there were a bunch of people who were anti-Semites and they hated Jewish people, would you watch that show? Why would you watch that show?
Well, there's a fine line between somebody being an anti-Semite and somebody being like anti-Zionist, for example. Like, that's a pretty big divide. I think what Remini had to say was less about the doctrine and theology surrounding Scientology, more about the behavior of particularly the executives, right?
I don't, you know what, because I haven't said, I don't want to comment on it and I don't know. And so I don't, you know, this is, again, I don't want what people have done to me and said, well, she does this and she does that. And it's like, you don't know me, you've never met me. So I just don't comment and I'm not going to, but all I know is what it's done for me has changed my life, has made me happier, more successful. I was a very angry kid. And I think growing up with somebody who is cruel to you, mean to you for no reason for so many years and for so long, I resented my dad for it. I was very angry. And I went to a lot of therapy. I've tried it all. Like,
you're
right?
talking about your shitbag stepmom, right? That's my words.
Dan had a bad relationship with his parents growing up as well.
My dad, yeah.
He can relate. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I've done a lot of therapy trying to get rid of it, right? Really, a lot of therapy, and it would help a little here and there. And then all of a sudden I do a few weeks of, you know, this thing called auditing, and I'm not as angry. I don't hate her as much. I can actually use her name. Like before I couldn't even say, it was so full of anger and hatred. And a lot of it just, it's like, okay, let me look at the situation for what it is without all this anger and hatred and go, wow. And there was a point where I went, I feel sorry for this person. It wasn't hatred. It was like, I feel sorry that she has to live in a world where she thinks that everybody's out to get her, or she thinks everybody is gonna, you know, do her harm, that she does it first, or that she can't accept love, because we were great kids. We would have loved her. She would have been, you know, we had a great family. My mom, my stepdad, we all love each other. And she would have been accepted into that too. And she would have been loved. And she can't accept that. What a sad state of being, you know? And I could look at it that way instead of with malice and hatred and like venom. And it was, I cannot tell you, when that lifted, I felt like a different person, not carrying that around. So that was a huge thing for me that Scientology gave me. Huge.
Right. Yeah, that's essentially cognitive behavioral therapy. It's like exposure therapy. That's the reason people journal and write, and it's nothing unique.
Whatever it is that helped you, great, you know. But that's what helped me. It was wonderful.
Well, what helps me is seeing weird shit to people on the internet, mostly.
Yeah, Dan's a huge troll on the internet.
I can't help myself. I don't know what the problem with me is, to be honest.
He loves it.
Yeah,
he loves it. By the way, was the guy you were talking about, was it Tom Cruise by any chance? Because I met Tom Cruise, and I've told this story on the show before. I've never met somebody so locked in and focused to a conversation to an individual that he doesn't know than Tom Cruise. And I, like, there's only two or three instances in all of Hollywood where I was like, that person stopped a room and it was the most impressive person I've ever met. And it was Tom Cruise. And when he walked, because he talked to me like he'd known me for 30 years, right? Even though 5,000 people in the room, his eyes are on Tom Cruise at all times. And I remember I turned to my publicist afterwards and I was like, fuck, man, if that's what Scientology is, sign me the fuck up, because I've never met somebody more focused and locked in. And then, but he went from, I watched him go from person to person, like later on throughout this, we were at some award show, and the way he talked to everybody, he knew everybody's names, back history, family. Like he sat down and talked to you about your entire life, and you were like, Jesus, man, I don't think I've ever seen someone more focused. So if that's the guy you were talking about, I get it.
Who do you think would win in a staring contest between Tom Cruise and that guy from the Heaven's Gate cult that didn't blink for like 4 hours in that video that time?
Remember that guy? It's Tom Cruise.
We're done.
It's Tom Cruise. It's got to be Tom Cruise. I'm all TC all day over here.
I think he's an amazing human being. I don't know him. But you know, what he's done and who he is, and he does so much that people don't know about, what he gives for humanitarian causes. And he's really an incredible person. Said hi. That's about it. He seems like a cool guy. I am not, you know, it's funny. People think all these celebrities there. I don't go around like meeting all the celebrities that happen to study Scientology. You know, that's not.
Yeah. That would be weird if you all just hung out all the time.
Yeah, hung out all the time. And the other thing is, like, you know, I've done so many films with Scientologists that I didn't know until later. Because it's not like you guys ever bring it up either.
They're not really proselytizing.
No.
People,
no. So you don't.
It's a very personal choice. And look, I love it. And if people, you know, they come to me and like, what are you doing? You know, I need to try this or whatever. Oh, hey, try this here. Read this book. Is it, you know, if it, you have a cognition and go, this is great, I like it, try it, great.
Sure.
If you don't, okay. I mean, this is where it's so weird when I hear things that are, I'm not going to even repeat some of the BS that I hear, because it's like, it's so far from what we know and what we study. And then you hear the stuff and it's sad. I don't understand it, but you know.
Yeah, and like I was saying earlier, controversy seems to follow you in like all aspects of everything. What else are you working on right now that is super controversial or crazy? Because I feel like whatever's going to be next has got to be off the rails. Like it's got to be nuts. I know your podcast just got relaunched again, the Red Pill podcast. Yeah. What are the other projects you're working on right now?
I mean, I have the project that I'm doing that I can't talk about, but that is going to be, yes, it's going to be a bit controversial and it's going to be a bit out there for sure. And,
She just walks around town with a baseball bat looking for hornet's nest to smash.
Yeah,
I'm a fan. I like that. That's what we like here.
Yeah, if you're single, okay. Dan's single. I think, look, the two of you guys together. You know, he's got a theology degree, too.
There you go.
Yeah, for real.
Not
perfect.
I'm sure that's going to help.
I do the Red Pill podcast, of course. It's a passion. It's fun. I love it. Then my radio show, my Gerby's Law, which is my law show. Mm-hmm. And then I have a mortgage show. I've been doing mortgage shows since early 2000. So that another mortgage kind of finance show is coming back on the air. I'm doing that. So we're working on that right now. And then I have my vitamin company called Breakthrough Naturally, which is all about vitamins for emotional health. And I tried these vitamins once and I said, okay, hold on a second. This I can get behind. I've been asked to sell health stuff and vitamin stuff and this. I'm like, look, unless it actually works for me and I use it, I'm not putting my name on it. And I tried this and I said, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
This works. If I'm having any kind of like anxiety or feel low or whatever, I stay on my vitamins, I feel fantastic. And so I opened this company called Breakthrough Naturally, and the vitamins that we sell are phenomenal. So that I work on that too. I've been in Forbes with that and Yahoo Finance. We've been in quite a few big publications about it. And there's 34 different studies done on them. And I'm into health. And I'm into emotional health and wellness. So that's what I do.
Gotcha. Speaking of mortgages, are we headed for a huge crash here coming up?
Yeah, you know, it's a possibility, but people have been saying that for so many years. Sell your house. It's going to go down. Sell mm-hmm. it. You know, for the last 4 or 5 years, I've heard that now. So, you know, and look at what's happening with the market. You just don't know. At this point, I thought everything would have crashed already, but it hasn't. So
I think there's going to be a commercial real estate crash way before there's a residential real estate crash.
Yeah, I would put the residential crash next year. Yeah.
That seems early.
I'd put it
me.
Next year. Commercial real estate's coming really quickly. But yeah. Are you still in L.A. right now?
I am. I'm in Los Angeles right now. I just got back. I like to be in Vegas a lot. Mm.
Yeah, we were talking about this before we went on air. With the mass exodus that's going on in Los Angeles right now, Dan and I were just there filming 2 weeks ago, and the homelessness crisis is the craziest I've seen there. And you know, I lived there for 18 years. I mean, it feels like it happened almost overnight there. Are you getting out of there as well? And real estate-wise, what are you telling your clients and people to do with L.A.?
What we mostly do on the show is just rates and mortgages for a mortgage company. So we will talk about the market. We'll talk about what it's affecting it, how it's affecting, you know, the rates and your home and your values. And, you know, we'll just talk about different programs that you can get from your home to refinance, from refinancing to, you know, the veterans loans to whatever it may be, whatever is out there in the programs. We talk about that. We give a rate. If they like it, they call, you know, the bank who's hired us to do their show. And that's basically what we do. But I don't like sell real estate. I don't, you know, yeah. I've been doing that for a long time. So I just have to keep up on the programs.
I wonder if there's any data right now about how many residential homeowners are behind on their mortgage with the expectation that they can't get evicted right now. Because that bill is going to come due at some point, right?
I believe it's September, right?
I don't know.
I think they're cleared but it's through not, August.
It's not going to be... Like, you still owe your fucking mortgage from all those months.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You just didn't owe it at the time.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, like,
and there's people not paying rent. Like, there's actually, they know they can get evicted. So, poor people who've, like, rented their houses out, there's people staying in them that they can't pay the rent or they're not paying rent. Yeah.
They're going to squat for a long time.
As long as they're able.
That was
sure.
a big thing because I was in LA during the last crash in 08, that housing crash. And that's what happened to a lot of people. They were just squatting until, you know, what was it? 18 months or whatever. It was something crazy.
The squatter laws in fucking California are wild as shit.
Oh, it's nuts.
Like, you can't even let somebody stay at your house for 30 straight days without them gaining, like, permanent access to your house.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wild as shit, man.
Carrie, what we're saying is Dan needs a place to stay for 30 days.
Yeah, I'm
going to
sleep in your basement.
Is that okay?
It's going to be me and Joe Biden down there hiding from the world. But he's not allowed to stiff me. I've already told him.
You can pay me rent. You can come stay.
I'll pay you the first month, and then I can't get evicted after that.
Yeah, and then after that, you can squat forever.
It'll be me and Joe Biden down there making fucking videos, buddy.
Yeah, just going online. And we have a hard time on this show making fun of Joe Biden simply because he really does have dementia.
For sure, yeah.
And it's sad absolutely. What has happened, and you're like, God damn it, man. Please get him off the air. I watched that interview yesterday, which was pure Oof. Madness.
I mean, what the fuck is he even talking about?
I don't know.
Like, honestly, he said something, 2 weeks ago about how he's really looking forward to doing debates with Trump? Like, no, you're not, Joe.
No.
You're definitely not. Your team and your party, certainly you're not looking forward to that shit.
Yeah.
But it's going to be great. It's going to be like that speech that Adam Sandler gave in Billy Madison, where the guy was like, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. Get the fuck out of here. It's bad. But I feel like even though he does, like, we cut him some slack because he clearly has dementia, but still... When the guy was of sound mind, he wrote the crime bill that put millions of black dudes in jail for bullshit.
Yeah.
All right. So fuck that guy.
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing for election night this year?
Not going to be in Los Angeles.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, there's no way. There's a group of friends and I were going to a small. We're literally getting out of the city, getting out of the state.
Yeah, well, look, we're doing a live show in Austin, Texas that night. We're going live for 7 hours for the election. So you're welcome down there.
Maybe we'll go there.
Yeah, plenty of veterans, plenty of laughs, plenty of booze.
Some Medal of Honor recipients, some musicians.
Guns.
Oh, yeah.
Rioting starts.
Oh, did you say guns? Yeah, I mean, we all have guns.
Yeah, we all have guns. But let me ask you that. If Trump gets reelected, well, first of all, do you think he'll get reelected?
I mean, let me tell you something. I have had, and it's really weird, people who are hardcore Democrats, I'm talking people in the industry that are very left, tell me that they cannot vote for Biden. And this is in the last 2 weeks, I had two friends come to me and tell me that they can't vote for Biden. They definitely think there's something wrong with him cognitively. And then one friend admitted she was going to vote for Trump.
Oof.
And I'm like, okay, these two, I mean, I'm talking, they are left.
Right.
Left. And they told me they're voting for Trump. I mean, the other one basically said it, you know, actually straight up said I'm voting for Trump. And I was like, okay, if these two women who are extremely, you know, left and they have been Democrats that as long as I've known them, are now saying they can't vote for Biden and they're voting for Trump, there's going to be a lot of people who they call the silent majority voting for Trump. And if that is the case, I think he's probably going to win.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're under 90 days now at this point, so we'll see. But I'm always curious as to what people are hearing out in Los Angeles, because, look, let's face it, it's as left as you could possibly get. And
but I think a lot of those people are fucking Bernie folks. So the question is...
That's what I think, yes.
The question is going to be... I don't know who it is at this point, because it seems like the choices have been narrowed to Susan Rice and Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Neither one of whom are particularly interesting to that wing of the party.
Right.
And Joe Biden certainly isn't, if they listen to what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Like, apparently, black people aren't diverse of thought.
Yeah, as of yesterday.
Like, he basically read a definition of what a monolith is,
mm-hmm.
and then tweeted the next day, oh, I wasn't saying they were monolith. Like, yeah. No, that's exactly what the fuck you said, dumb.
Yeah.
I don't know if either one of those VP candidates can pull that vote back. I don't see how it happens. And we saw what happened in 2016. I think that what she's saying was probably the case in 2016 as well. I bet a lot of those people voted for Trump.
Mm.
A lot of the Bernie bros or whatever the fuck you want to call them. I really believe that happened. Obviously, they would never admit to it in public because they would get crucified, but I believe that happened.
Sure. Are you going to vote, Carrie?
Of course I'm going to vote. I don't miss elections, and I've been voting since I was able to. You know, I stay very neutral. I stay independent. I have friends who are extremely right. I have friends who are extremely left. I like, you know, what I've noticed in the last couple of years is when we used to sit down for Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner with both sides of the family,
mm-hmm.
People would talk. Now there's no talking. It's if you don't believe what I believe, you're this, and this. If you don't understand this, you're a fucking sheeple. If you don't, I mean, there's no communication. There's no common sense. There's no down the middle anymore. There's no, hey, you know what? I like what Trump has done for the, you know, sex trafficking and all the bills he's signing. But I don't like the fact that, you know, he's so far against the environment. We don't like that. Maybe we can compromise. There's nothing like that. Oh, you know, the Democrats are right here. The Republicans are right here. Maybe let's compromise. There's none of that. There's no compromise. There's no conversation. It's hatred. And I do blame CNN and Fox for tearing the nation apart. what you have here is ratings for dividing people and creating fear and anger. And I being in the media myself, doing news myself, being in talk radio, you know, you have to make something salacious and sexy and something so you get the ratings. And this has been what I've seen in the last couple of years is horrific.
If you remember, I think it was like 2004, Jon Stewart went on Crossfire, that old CNN show, mm-hmm. which was, I think it was Tucker Carlson, and I can't remember who the other guy was, the left person. It was a Democrat and Tucker Carlson. I don't remember who it was, but he came on their show and he goes, "You guys think you're doing some kind of service?" Maybe it was the Cajun guy. What's his name? Raging Cajun. What's his name?
Oh, Carville.
James Carville. Yeah.
Oh, James Carville. Now, he was married. Him and his wife were on opposite sides,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, opposite. Yeah. Yeah, for years. I mean, they're married, still married, right? So far as I know. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one's a Democrat, one's a Republican. He wrote a book on it. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, so Jon Stewart came on the show one time because that was when he was gaining steam as a real voice in news because everybody else is full of shit. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to have him on the show. And he goes, "You guys are sitting here thinking you're doing a favor by projecting these polar opposite opinions, letting the people decide. No, you're just building division. Yeah. You're assholes, both of you." Yeah. And he called it. He called it in 2004. And really, it started back in the mid-90s, but he called it in 2004. And look at what it's turned into. It's nonsense. The trust in the media is at an all-time low. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of people on both sides of the aisle do not like the media. They don't trust what they're hearing in the news media. So what's the point? And
they're lying to us about so much stuff, and they're censoring. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you censor the President of the United States? I don't care if you hate him, like him, whatever. How do you censor him? How do you censor doctors with their expert opinion? And how do you debunk and, I mean, discredit all of these experts? I'm talking virologists, epidemiologists, doctors from all, you know, whether they're, you know, emergency room doctors, frontline doctors, you know, general practitioners, they're all being discredited when they come out and say, "Hey, hydroxychloroquine with the Z-Pack saved my patients."
Yeah.
Why is that? And then Fauci himself said this in 2005 out of the journal it was published where Fauci says, and I actually have it right here. Have you guys read this yet on your show?
No, fire away.
Okay. I did this on my, I was debating a man on my show last Sunday. Nice guy, Harry, who's the lawyer, but he's a health attorney who didn't know any of this because he's telling us how great these vaccines are going to be. And I said, "There's no safety testing." "Oh, we're doing 30,000 people with," I said, "what about long-term testing?"
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't even figured out the flu vaccine yet. It hasn't stopped the flu. So you're going to put this vaccine in with no safety testing, zero safety testing. And, so this is what Fauci said about hydroxychloroquine, and this was published in the Virology Journal, the official publication of Dr. Fauci's National Institute of Health. And this was published in August 22, 2005. It says chloroquine is a potent inhibitor of SARS coronavirus infection and spread. It goes on to say that it basically is not only a prophylactic, but a therapeutic. It gives you a therapeutic advantage over the coronavirus. It also says, so HCQ functions as both a cure and a vaccine. In other words, it's a wonder drug for the coronavirus, said Fauci in Fauci's NIH in 2005. You can look this up in the Virology Journal. He is talking about how it's phenomenal for viruses.
Well, this isn't
words,
right? Yeah. Whenever I hear or whenever there's any kind of situation in news, people often ask me, like, where do I go for news? And then how do I determine what's real or not? Mm-hmm. I ask myself, who benefits from this situation going the way it's going? And that's usually what's happening. People in power anywhere are assholes for the most part.
Yeah.
Like it's that maxim that power corrupts is not. No, they didn't just make that shit up. It's real. And whenever I see a drug that's cheap and readily available that can deal with the most problematic thing we've had viral-wise in 100 years, and then seeing where Big Pharma's come over the last 25 or so years, like, of course, they would fucking murder you if you came out with a cure on your own.
Yeah.
And well,
how many people have been murdered for saying they have a cure for things?
Oh, for cancer especially, yeah.
Dead, you know? I mean, it's happened over and over again. This isn't... you know, like a one-off. There are people who, there were 85 dead doctors that disappeared down in South America for saying it was a clinic and they were curing cancers and and Lyme disease and all this stuff. I had a friend who went there and got his Lyme disease cured. And all the doctors that were at this clinic are dead. And you can look it up. You can say 85. I think it's, if you look under 85 dead doctors, South America, they actually wrote about it. You know, it's like, well, you can't be doing that. Can't be curing people of cancer.
Yeah. This whole thing feels like some sort of this COVID thing. Seems like a population experiment to me where you can't pay me enough money to buy into a story that one guy ate a bat at a fresh market in Wuhan.
Wet market, yeah.
Yeah, wet market. And
I don't think people really believe that. I don't.
No one believes that shit. Everybody that has any fucking semblance of intelligence knows that virus was created in a lab in China.
Yeah.
Right?
I do so much stuff that it's like, why is this out in the media? Why isn't the media talking about this, right? Why isn't the media talking about all the other countries using hydroxychloroquine who are successful? Who saved their patients. There's a hospital in Florida who they lost. When I interviewed a nurse from there, and they said they hadn't lost anybody. Afterward, they lost a man who was 87 and heavy. But they had, up until a few weeks ago, they hadn't lost one person from COVID. Not one, because what did they use? Hydroxychloroquine and Z-Pak.
Right.
Another woman in Texas, same thing. All of the people she treated, same exact thing. Doctors come out, 15 of them, and they get slammed and discredited talking about how they saved almost 400 people with hydroxychloroquine. I mean, and then, what about, then you hear all about side effects. There are people taking drugs every single day that are in your cabinets that one of the side effects is death.
Yeah.
If you're going to die anyways, take, I mean, there was a Democrat that came out in Michigan who said, she was pretty much on her deathbed. And if she hadn't heard Trump say he was taking hydroxychloroquine, she would have never done it. She doesn't think she'd be alive today. So she took the hydroxychloroquine and a Z-Pak, and she's alive.
By the way, him and his entire staff are taking it as a prophylaxis.
Yeah,
they are. Yeah, they have been this whole time.
I know we had a guest on the show, The Bachelor. We had Colton Underwood on the show. And he had coronavirus, and the same thing. He took hydroxychloroquine and a Z-Pak, and he was like, I'm better. Like, everything was better after that.
I mean, it makes sense. It treats what's wrong with you that COVID caught. Like, you never really die from a disease. You die from complications. Like, you don't die from pneumonia. You get pneumonia, and you get weak. Your lungs stop working, or your immune system goes down. Just like HIV or AIDS, your immune system gets fucked up, and some little thing fucks you up, right? It's always, like, some secondary cause. With COVID, it's typically inflammation in your fucking lungs, right?
Yep.
If you can figure out how to stop inflammation in your lungs, it doesn't matter. Yeah, if it gets to your lungs, yeah.
Yeah, I've had so many friends now that have had it. I interviewed one a few months ago on my show. I just put her on. Actually, I did that on Instagram Live because I'm like, look, this woman is going through it right now. She's actually in the throes of the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. She got on the air. She's like, I feel like I have a really bad cold. Mm-hmm. Maybe a flu, but it's not as bad as the flu I had last year.
Right.
And she tested positive for COVID and that she had it. I have quite a few friends now that have gotten over it. I mean, it's a 99.8% recovery rate, but nobody talks about that, right? 0.00046%. Let me say that again. 0.00046%. of the United States of America have died from COVID, which is, every life counts. But, when I say that, they're like, oh, you don't care. Well, did anybody care about my dad when he died of Lewy body dementia? Where's the demand in trying to find out where that came from? Why aren't you standing up and saying, we must have an end to this disease that has 100% death rate, right? So what's going on here? Why is this? I guess I look at stats, and when you say that Stanford did you guys read the Stanford article that came out, all their published articles?
I did, the one from about a month ago.
Yeah.
You mean?
Yeah.
And he's saying that they didn't believe in the lockdowns. They didn't basically believe it was a pandemic, and they thought, I mean, some of these numbers are unbelievable. Here they are. Stanford University's disease prevention chairman says COVID's infection fatality rate is close to zero for people under 45.
Yeah.
People oh, well, this person died, that person died. We're looking at stats. We're not looking at, you know, this person dying. And that, yeah. This is a stat. This is a real statistic.
Well, look, right? look on CNN any day and you'll see 7-year-old or 40-year-old health, otherwise healthy died of corona. Like,
yeah.
That's anecdotal. That's not fucking journalism.
But they also
and it's not
had
science.
Underlying conditions that's, yeah. you know, like,
well, most of America, most of America has underlying conditions. It's called being a fat fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, we're unhealthy as shit here. And we wonder why every other country is doing better than us. Like, because we fucking go, we don't eat fucking homemade meals anymore. We eat Cheetos with fucking, like, not even ranch dressing. It's like fucking some Frito-Lay version of ranch dressing.
Put a little
sitting,
bit of blue cheese
it's
on
It's sitting
that,
out on the shelf. It's not even refrigerated. You think that's okay to put in your fucking body? No, bitch.
Yeah.
You're going to die.
Yeah, they, Hardee's has got the Frisco burger. It's got about 1,000 calories in it. Yeah. You don't want to give that up, dude.
Why only eat meat?
It's true.
I don't eat the bread.
So you're a
vegan. You know what you should watch? I mean, that's actually way better for you. Without the bread, the meat without the bread is great. It's yeah. better for you. I'm a vegan and vegetarian. Mm. I don't eat that. But there's a movie called Game Changers. Have either one of you seen it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my wife is huge into that. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't go into, oh, poor animals and this, and you should become a vegetarian for animal. It has nothing to do with that. The statistics on that was unbelievable. That's why I tell everybody, look, if you're a meat eater, you want to be athletic, you're doing this, watch Game Changers. I thought it was pretty interesting.
I've seen it. I think it's a commentary on a number of things. One is that Americans are real stupid. Like, think about the carnivore diet. Yes, you can do that, and there are ways to make it work. You might have to supplement, but really you need to, like, if you're doing some kind of radical shit like that, whether it's veganism or a straight fucking meat diet or whatever the fuck it is, you better be getting your blood levels checked every fucking 3 months.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, everybody's body's a little bit different. You don't know what your body fucking needs until you test it out. But Americans don't do that. Like, oh, I can eat bacon all day? Hell yeah, brother. Yeah. Heart attack.
And they do.
Yeah,
they do.
It's fucking stupid. Yeah.
The common sense is missing in a lot, not only politically, but the way people treat their bodies and then expect them to work, or the way people take expect them to get better. And it's like, you know, what was it? Hippocrates said, let food be thy medicine. We've gone so far away from that. Oh, GMOs are, I mean, they're people that don't even understand what a, you know, genetically modified organism is and what it does and how it's tested on animals and how they get sick from it and die from it or have seizures from it. And they're feeding it to us and they don't have to label it. They've paid enough lobbyists to go into, you know, DC and say, look, we don't want to tell people that they're eating food that's been completely engineered not to be food.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Yes,
so you have to find stuff that says non-GMO or organic. I mean, this is terrifying. Most countries would never allow that, and they don't allow it. We're one of the only idiotic countries that allows it.
Yeah, like if you go to, I encourage, if you guys get a chance to visit Europe especially, go to Italy.
And when we're allowed there, by the way.
When we're allowed back, yeah. But go to Italy, go to Italy, specifically somewhere in the southern, like, I don't know, like, central part of Italy on the west coast near the Amalfi coast, all those like Sorrento and south of there, you'll see a lot of cheese manufacturers, and you can every fucking cheese manufacturer you go to, they have a book this goddamn thick with all the certifications of how that cheese is made. Like, that is normal there to make sure that you're actually producing quality food for people.
Yeah,
like that seems like an important thing. But somewhere in the fucking 1950s or so, 1940s and 50s, we decided, like, oh, corn syrup, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Doop. Like, we're so fucking stupid. God damn it, man. We're the dumbest motherfuckers on earth.
I mean, it really is true. It's like, we have so many allergies, so many sicknesses. It's like, nobody's saying, you never hear this. You never hear, hey, you know, make sure your vitamin levels are checked. Because not only will it affect your entire body, like you said, if you're a vegan, you have to take supplements. Mm. We are not living in 70 years ago to 100 years ago when there was actually vitamins in the soil. We have over-harmed everything. So being a vegan, I got so sick. I didn't take supplements, which you have to now, especially like different diets, carnivore diet or paleo or whatever. It's very important to test and make sure you're getting the right nutrition. Very. But then when you start to actually have mental issues, because you're sick here, like so many of our mental illnesses are caused by body issues, underlying health issues, not exactly a mental illness. So if you heal your body or whatever, I have an entire book that shows all these different kinds of illnesses and what then how your mental status is affected by it. It's unbelievable. So if you cure this issue with your body, well, then this stuff goes away with your brain or your mind, yeah, or your
there's
whatever.
Johns Hopkins did a really good study called the gut. What is it? The brain gut connection.
Yeah. So my wife and her mom are. They're way into this, and they fully believe this 100%.
Well, I mean, there's pretty good data on it now. Like, if you have bad gut health, generally speaking, mm-hmm, your homeostasis is fucked, which means your synaptic firing is fucked, which means your brain's going to be fucked. Yep. That's how it goddamn works, man.
That's right.
It's not complicated. It's also not hard to do this stuff. Like, some of it can be cost prohibitive, but now you can go on Amazon and order like a test kit for $40 or something that you could do once a quarter, once mm-hmm every 3 months, and know exactly what's in your body, right? There's no excuse not to be doing this shit at this point. So if
totally
you're
totally and probiotics, just if people are listening, they can't afford anything, get on probiotics, please, and get on a some type of I guess, you know, a vitamin that's not processed. If you do a raw food vitamin or a whole food vitamin, just take that and get on something that will help your gut. It will help everything else. If you're having anxiety, you're experiencing anxiety, get on some calcium, get on magnesium. That does help. It really, really does. I know, because I've done it. So it really is important to keep your gut clean and to keep it healthy. That will give you better emotional health.
And White Claw. Dan and I drink a lot of White Claw.
Yeah, a lot of White Claw helps for sure. Yeah.
What's White Claw?
Carrie, you got to come out to Austin. Dan, I think there's a whole new world that you need to be introduced to outside of L.A. And just let Dan take you on a journey.
Wait, did you say a whole new world because it's from Aladdin? Because racist.
You're canceled.
You're canceled. Get the fuck out.
I'm canceled.
Everybody's canceled.
Carrie, this is the point in the show. We get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you in this life. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
I mean, my dad didn't drink much, but my dad, I guess.
Well, it's not about drinking. The drinking bros thing, by the way, is about veterans who get out of the military and then they're back in their hometowns isolated and don't have anyone to hang out with that knows what the fuck they've been through. So drinking bros means you never have to drink alone, but you can show up and drink water if you want. It's not about booze necessarily.
That's awesome. We are
drunk bastards, but we don't expect everyone to be.
Yeah.
So can I give it to my dad? Is that possible?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of people do. And it's always, I'm always curious when they don't, because typically then you've had a bad relationship with your father. But
also a lot of people don't have motherfucking Casey Kasem as a dad.
I know. That's crazy.
It's pretty. Yeah.
He was a veteran. So there you go.
Yeah.
The veterans. And that's another thing too for veterans. They get put on so many different types of drugs and they're so screwed up. And I cannot tell you once again, please get healthy. If you're listening to this, please, 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 not just, you know, it's so important to get your health together. And I know you guys talk about it, but if you do get your gut healthy, things will start to change for you. I know this, I do this. My ex-boyfriend works with veterans and that's what he does. Like, he literally helps them, with nutrition and lives change, like completely change. So it's very, very important.
That's good.
I can go into it. I'm not going to. There's a whole long thing I do about it, but it really is. It really does change people.
Well, you go to her show and see that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, tell everybody where they can find you on social media and your radio show and all that stuff.
I mean, I'm mostly I'm on Instagram and Facebook. I have, you know, my public Facebook page and then I have my private one. But if you do Instagram, I am the only person that answers my mail. I do not let anybody speak for me. I do not let anybody comment for me. So it's me. You'll actually be talking to me. So, and if you don't DM me, if you really want something quick, write it on a post. And then I go through all my comments. It's me.
Okay. So at Carrie Kasem on Instagram, did you get your own name?
Yeah.
Look at you. You're lucky.
I mean, there can't be a lot of Carrie Kasems out there. Not like Dave Smith or something.
Yeah, exactly. One question before we get out of here. Since you grew up in town for years and years and years, your dad was, you know, uber famous. Who was the most famous relationship you've been in? Did you date somebody growing up where you're like, oh man, no way. You dated Jason Patrick.
I mean, I dated people who are, you know, I don't talk about it, but I dated a few pretty famous people, but yeah.
Come on. Give us one name, Carrie.
now. I mean, people know I dated Corey Feldman, so there you go.
Oh, all right. Shit.
Yeah.
Was it during the Lost Boys, like that whole era?
No, it was in my early 20s, and he was in his 20s. I'm old now, so I mean, that was a long, long time ago.
No. Well, you don't look old.
Yeah, you don't look old. Like, and Dream a Little Dream was my favorite Corey Feldman movie, by the way.
Really? Oh, so good. That was a great film.
Loved
it. Was it Jason Robards? I think Jason Robards. Was that him, the old man?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great film. Yeah.
R.I.P. Robards. But for whatever reason, I loved that movie when I was a tiny baby growing up.
I haven't seen any of those old movies.
Really?
Yeah, because my dad was a dictator, so I like the Goonies. Never seen it. Fucking none of that.
You didn't see the Goonies? Oh, you gotta watch the Goonies.
I feel. Do you think favorite. That it translates to now? Yes. feel like those movies aren't gonna hold up.
I watched it a month ago. The Goonies still translates, still holds up. It is great. No reason to remake it.
You made that connection when you were a child, though. Like with me having never seen it, am I going to enjoy it for the first time as an adult?
Yes, I think you will. If you take into account like what the 80s were and all of that stuff. Now, there's movies that I've watched that definitely didn't hold up for me, where I was just like, oh, boy.
I feel like the Back to the Future movies hold up.
Yeah.
Those are still pretty good movies, right?
Yes. Back to the Future still holds up. Anything with Eddie Murphy still holds up from the 80s.
I mean, can you imagine if Eddie Murphy was a young comedian now? He would have gotten run out of town already.
Yeah, he would make it.
Oh, he'd be done.
He'd be canceled.
Most of them, I just watched a Norman Lear documentary. Ugh. And I mean, he was like, you know, it was all in the family, mm-hmm. which was super racist. Yeah. You had Jeffersons, you had, what was the first black family on television?
Good Times.
So he was talking about Good Times, and it was, you know, they were a poor black family, and there was a leader of the Black Panthers that came into the studio one day with his group of people and walked right to Norman Lear and was like, you know, you're not portraying, you know, black people in America correctly. This is wrong, wrong, wrong. And Norman Lear said that actually led to the Jeffersons. And the Jeffersons.
Really?
Well-to-do black family, yes.
Right. Well, that's kind of how...
Very interesting documentary. I saw it last night.
What's the name of it?
Just look for the Norman Lear documentary.
It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah. It's like, You Were Like Me, something like... It's called something like that.
Just
like,
Another Version of You.
Yeah.
Just Another Version of
You. Yeah. That sounds really interesting, because that's how you're supposed to be as a human being. When somebody from a group that's marginalized says, hey, you're marginalized, and then you fix it. You don't get canceled. Yeah. You fix it.
Yeah,
like that's how we grow, right?
The show. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. And he's one of those people where he was so famous and had so much power in town.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do that show.
No, of course not.
He did it on his own.
He had at one time the top 10 shows. Mm-hmm. Six of them were his.
Yeah, he's a genius. He's an all timer in the television world.
Super lefty guy too.
Yeah,
always.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes, he was.
A lot of Democrats in, and I think. For social issues too.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that. You know, like, look, there's some of social issues that I skew very left on. Mm. And I get it, but I don't think the Democratic Party is what it used to be. I just don't. I think there's people who've told me they're socialists. It was a recall Newsom event or something. I was covering it. I don't think it was reopen California that I was covering. And I was interviewing a woman, and she said, I'm a socialist.
Really?
And she was very open about it. And she talked about it, and she's very, you know, she's like, no, I'm not a Democrat. I am a socialist.
Right.
And so there, it's really skewed toward that way. And a lot of people are coming out with communist values that I go, that's not democratic. That's communism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I always, I don't like to make assumptions about people, but here's one assumption you can absolutely make. If you're a socialist, you're definitely not a history major. That's a pretty easy one.
The other thing is
trying to cancel history. You know, like Illinois, they want to take out history classes.
My thing is, whenever somebody says they're a socialist, you just give them a one way flight to Venezuela and tell me how that society's doing right now.
Yep.
But that's just me. Carrie, look, we could talk for hours. Please come back. If you're down in Austin for November 3rd, we're doing a live election show. We'd love to have you. And you'll be around some fine Americans that night.
Maybe I will.
Yeah, absolutely. For Carrie Kasem, D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is The Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.